It is very good to be here this morning, and you will not have any trouble paying attention considering this strange-looking fellow standing before you this morning that you've never seen before. But the name of the message is, What Should I Desire of Christ? And I imagine if I were to go around the room asking what you desired of Christ, or if you had Christ standing before you or sitting before you, what would you say you wanted from Him? What could He give you that would make you happy? What could He give you that would be your heart's desire? So that's the question we're asking. We're going to answer it. It's not going to be what you think. Now, just for example, let me get one person to tell me, if Christ were seated right here and you could ask Him for one thing, what would it be? Who wants to volunteer an answer? Nobody knows. I hadn't thought about that. Nobody wants to volunteer an answer? What if I draft someone? My wife is telling me, don't draft anyone. Don't draft. You got an answer? That probably would surprise Christ. An iPhone. Well, we have one answer, and considering that answer, we won't ask for any more. Because that one, I'll take a little while to get used to that one first, before I go any further. Well, in the world we live in this physical, intellectual, moral world, there are many fascinating subjects. One thing that I appreciate, and I happen to be in a Chinese congregation, so I mean, you know, I have to make some reference to Chinese people. The one thing I appreciate about Asian culture is their interest in education, making sure that the young people get a good education. That's very important. And you can really, personally, I do, really respect that mentality, because it doesn't exist necessarily in other cultures. Well, let me just be brutally honest, it doesn't necessarily exist in the American culture. Now, a lot of people go to college, but they're not going to get an education. They're going to do a lot of other things, but not necessarily worry about studying real hard so that you can really improve your prospects in life. Even though there are many things that we can study in this world that really can absorb our interest. Not everybody's interested in those things, but those people that are have an empty canvas on which to paint their picture. I mean, you can achieve just about anything that you set your mind to, if you have the will and the drive to do it, and the mental acuity to follow through and do it, you can do it. And you know, it sounds like a graduation a speech before you go out into the world. The fact of the matter is that it's true. Human learning should be very highly prized. by people, because it is very important, and God has given us the ability to achieve marvelous things with our minds. You talk about you wanted that iPhone, but I'll tell you what, that iPhone wasn't invented by a bunch of guys that didn't get an education. You think what those phones can do. You think of that technology. And that technology, pretty soon your iPhone's going to be outdated. You know how fast it changes these days? It changes as fast as you can imagine, and more than you can imagine. Pretty soon they're going to be coming up with something that you didn't even know about, and they're going to be advertising it on television. And then, when the question is asked, you'll be saying, "Oh, that! Forget the iPhone. That's out of date." Yeah. But there is a subject that every Christian, and you're going to, this is almost a downer to some people. You know, Christians, when they think of what they would desire if they had the opportunity to ask God for one thing, they have all these things pop into their minds. But very often, the thing that doesn't pop into their minds is the thing they need the most. The thing they need the least, that's very often what they want. Strange how we are, but it is true. All the holy angels in heaven surround the throne of God with all the redeemed that are in glory, and they have an increasing admiration and delight for this one particular subject. I can't adequately declare its vastness, much less comprehend its fullness. It is inexhaustible in nature. The highest intelligences that move amid the glories of paradise cannot fathom the profound nature of this subject. I'm going to read to you a verse of Scripture which answers the question, what should I desire of Christ? Try to follow me if you can. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, the Bible reads, yes, Paul writing, everything else is worthless when compared with the priceless gain of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage so that I may have Christ. Well, there goes the iPhone. Out with the trash. Seriously, I like iPhones. I don't have one. In fact, I don't have a phone at all. You say, boy, what? Where have you been? My wife won't let me have one. But I saw one, or I've seen several, and people bring them and to where I work, and I've looked at them, and they are quite amazing. You know, they are quite amazing. But even as amazing as they are, and the amazing things that they can do, the Bible says they don't even hold a weak candle against the profound nature of having Christ in your life and knowing Him savingly. That changes everything. Christ and Him crucified is the Christian's theme of life. Now, that's the problem, isn't it? You have all of these other things crowding for attention, and they look at you, and they look really good, and they advertise them on television, and they say, you've got to have this. If you want to be anybody, you've got to have this. If you want to look like somebody, you've got to drive this. I mean, and that's our culture. And when you're a Christian, that's something that you have to deal with. No matter what. You can't say, well, that doesn't concern me, it doesn't bother me. Well, there may be a person in here that doesn't bother, but it bothers a whole lot of people. Because they're like anybody else. They're attracted to those things they can see, they can hold. They have substance. They do something. They make you happy. Say, where's Christ? He's in heaven. I can't see him. I can't talk to him. Oh, well, you say, well, I can pray. Well, that's not what people want. How many of you have ever thought to yourself, I wish for just a moment I had Christ sitting here so I could talk to him? Anybody? Some people. And the others may not be saying, or they've never thought of it. If I only had, I have an answer I need. I'm interested in finding out something. You know, we have a lot of young people seated here. Young people usually do one thing. They think about now. What's happening now? Not what's going to happen next week. Not what's going to happen a month from now. Not, certainly not what's going to happen 10 years from now. But what's happening right now? Now, when you get older, you think about what's going to happen. Look, when I was, how old are you? Huh? 12. You? 13. That's long ago. I don't even remember. When, I'm going to take a more rounded number. When I was 20, I never thought about being 50. I never thought about being 50. You know, 50, what? That's old, and you know, and I'm young, and I'm not thinking about being old. I'm thinking about what's going on in my life. All right? But when I hit 50, I was thinking about 60. Because it was close on my heels. You know? I could hear the footsteps behind me. They told me that I was getting older. And as you get older, you think about being older. Because you know that, I mean, in reality, brethren, you know that life is coming to a close. You say, I don't like to think about that. And as young people, you do not think about that. That's why you do the things you do. That's why you get on those motorcycles and go 100 miles an hour down the road. You know, that's why you're not afraid. Because you don't think anything is going to happen to you. You would never, never in this life ever get me on one of those things. You say, well, it's safe. Maybe if I was driving it, but that could have its own problems. I worry now about my health and how the future's going to be because I'm old. I'm not going to tell you how old. Older than you. Okay? And as a believer, There is something that becomes more a part of your life. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, if Jesus Christ is your Savior, He will become more important to you as you grow older than quite possibly He is right now when you are young. That's just the way it is. Because there are so many other things to divert your attention from the importance of your relationship with Christ. So many other things. And Paul said, I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now let me tell you what, that is single-mindedness. The only thing Paul says that is important to me, and he was a highly educated man, he could have accomplished a great deal in his field of endeavor, which was, of course, being a Pharisee, and possibly became quite wealthy if he would have wanted to. Pharisees had ways of becoming wealthy. But Paul said, I counted it all as garbage. Well, that was a nice way of saying it. Actually, he said, I count it all as dung. Everybody knows what dung is? Dung. One of the things you just look forward to is just picking up a big handful of dung. No. That is not what you look forward to. It is repulsive. And Paul said, everything in the world to me, now this is a strange thing to say, that is a man that has been touched by God in a way that many of us, if not all of us, cannot fathom, cannot understand. He says, all the things that I had in my life, all of my education, all of the importance that I was able to build up, as my reputation, all of that I consider as dung. That's how important it is in relationship to Christ. Knowing Christ. Christ crucified is the library, Stillingfleet said, in which triumphant souls will be studying in to all eternity. Now, when we get to heaven, those of us who are going, you need to really make sure that you're going. We said, what do we do in heaven? What are we going to do? Everyone in heaven? What do people do in heaven? You say, well, I believe heaven is a place where you go and the thing you like to do best is what you get to do. Well, it's a nice notion, but there's no thing in the Bible to tell you that. The Bible does tell you what the beings in heaven do. But it does not say that they all sit around doing what they like best. If they like to go fishing, and that's all we can do all day is fish in heaven. If we like iPhones, we'll just have a bunch of phones. And we can call and text all these other people in heaven. You know? Wouldn't that be just a blast? Crazy girls, the girls just love to text people. text. That's what I'm going to be doing in heaven. I'm in texting. And nobody's going to be able to say I'm texting too much, because that's what I can do in heaven. You know, the strange thing about heaven is that everything that we think we want to do we will not care about when we get there. Because what the angels do in heaven, and angels are a whole lot more intelligent than we are from what we see in the scriptures, what the angels do in heaven is worship God. You said, all the time? All the time. But how is that possible? I don't know. But everything changes when you are glorified in your new body and given a glorified heart where there is no sin. Everything changes. Your outlook changes. Your mentality changes. Everything changes. In heaven, it's a different world, obviously. Everything changes. Knowledge of Christ and Him crucified is indispensable to salvation. I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. I am the door, Christ says. If any man enters in, he shall be saved and go in and out and find pasture or sustenance. He will find what he needs. Everything is provided for him in heaven. Knowledge of a crucified Savior brings light amid the darkness of mortality. I'm going to say something that's going to sound strange. But for me, if you knew me, you wouldn't think it was strange. One of my favorite subjects, if I can even use the word favorite to describe it, one of the subjects that fascinates me the most, I said one of them, is death. The thing that very few people wish to think about. And yet, isn't it amazing to think? That this young man that you look upon this morning may not be here tonight. Now we laugh about that. But have you ever thought of that? Have you ever known someone that a friend that died? Unexpectedly. I mean, in an accident. Have you? Anybody? You had a friend that died in an accident? Okay. How did he die? Oh, he had a heart attack. Well, a heart attack is not something you can plan on having. I'm going to have a heart attack. It's usually a total surprise to the people that have them, usually, not always. But you are walking through your home, and this has happened to people I've known. You're walking through your home, and suddenly you say, maybe you say this, you might not, it might happen all of a sudden, massive, sudden heart attack. Person says, you know, I don't feel so well. Tell me when supper's ready, I'm going to go lie down. I don't feel so well. And they go and they lie down, and guess what? They never get up. When they go and they have a check on them, they're gone. Now, nobody expected that. And that's something that it's kind of creepy to some people. But death is our entrance into eternity. So you can do things now to prepare for eternity that when eternity comes, it'll be too late to prepare for. And one of those things is Jesus Christ and the knowledge of Jesus Christ as your Savior. For Christians, It makes them have hope. It animates their waking hours when they think about it. That I'm going to glory with Christ. I know Christ. And you want to make sure that you know Christ. You know, you want to make sure. I say that to people because I really feel strongly about this. You want to make certain that you know Christ. Now, some people say, oh yeah, I believe in Jesus. Well, I believe in you. But that doesn't do me a lot of good. You know? I believe in Jesus. Well, guess what the Bible says about that statement, I believe in Jesus or I believe in God. Let's say I believe in God. That's the most common thing that people say. Oh, you say, come to church. No. I can't come this Sunday. But I believe in God. I just want you to know, I believe in God. Well, guess who else believes in God? Who else? Who believes in God? Who? Yes. Satan believes in God. Is he going to heaven? Not hardly. Nor does he want to. But the point is that just simply believing in something is not enough. It is putting your trust, your faith, your life in Christ's hands. It is repenting of your sins and asking Him to forgive you and to be your Savior. It is desiring to know Him and what He can do in His saving effort that He put forth on the cross of Calvary. It is an all-important theme, the glory of which no tongue can express. No philosophy explained. Jesus Christ crucified for your sins. It's very hard to fathom. Jesus Christ is set forth in the Scriptures in all the richness of His grace. He is offered freely, offered to dying sinners. And we are called upon to embrace Him as our Savior. You embrace Him as your Savior, not because your mother did it, not because your father did it, not because some other person that you know did it, but because you desire to know Him as your Savior. And there's one thing you have to admit before you ever know Him as your Savior. You have to admit that you need to be saved. I need to be saved from something. What is it? You know? What have I ever done? Well, you know, you're a sinner. And there's one thing I realize, that nobody is going to raise their hands in here and say, oh, I'm not. I don't sin. I never do anything wrong. I never think anything wrong. Well, nobody admits to that. Because everybody knows the truth. Boy, what a mysterious thing Christ did on the cross. And the angels in heaven who know so much and who are before God continually are perplexed to the point of desiring to look into and know about this redemption that God offered to fallen man. Because they have not been given the ability to understand it. They never fell. They don't understand how it is that one could fall from God. They're in God's presence all the time, and they like being there. You ever heard of a person that said, "Boy, yeah, when I die, I'm going to hell. And man, are we going to party. It's going to be the greatest party." You know, there are people that actually say that and believe that. "We're going to party in hell. It's going to be the greatest party ever." If we had one glimpse of it, we would never think that. What should I desire of Christ? Oh, so many things to desire, but only one thing is the thing that we should desire, is to know Him, to know Him, to know Him more perfectly each and every day of our lives. To get closer to Him, to embrace Him, to be embraced by Him. That is life. That is what life is. Oh yes, life is many things, and it encompasses many things. But all of those things are worthless and useless if we do not have Christ. Because after, let's just say, 75 or 80 years, or maybe a little longer, depends. This life is over. You go into eternity where it lasts forever. The Bible says, "Let the knowledge of Christ and Him crucified dwell in you richly." Endeavor to know more and more about the person of the Redeemer. You want to know that. You want to know that. I know you want the iPhone. See, I got his attention. But the most important thing is to know Christ and the forgiveness of sin. That's the most important thing. Christian, I pray that Christ and Him crucified be something that on this earth will be your goal in life to know more about. Yes, you will go to school, you will earn your degrees at college, you will do all of those things, you will go out, you will get a job, and you will work, and you will build a family, and all the things that people do. And those are all wonderful things. And if God be pleased to allow you to do them, I wish you all the best in those areas. But I'll tell you one thing. As I grow older, I can assure you of this. As I grow older, each night when I lay my head on my pillow, there is a recurring thought that comes to my mind. Am I prepared to meet the Lord if tonight is the last night on this earth? Am I ready to go into eternity? And that can be frightening. That can be very frightening. But the one thing that gives you hope is Christ. If you have a problem, flee to Christ. If you have troubles besetting you that you cannot understand, flee to Christ. He's the rock. We hear all these statements, but they are true. The rock of our salvation. The fortress that we take refuge in. All of those things are true. I know it may be hard for you to understand it now. It may be hard for you to grasp it now. You may be so beset by distractions that Christ is one of the last things you will be thinking about. If you walk out of this building today, some of you that that have cars, and you look down and there's a flat tire. It's usually not the first thing you do is to think of Christ. It's to think, oh my. And you don't mean it the way that you think it ought to be meant. Why did this have to happen to me? And our whole world, for a flat tire, is turned topsy-turvy. Bottom up. Happens all the time. Happens to me, happens to everybody. But we keep going back to when you're happiest. I've learned something, and I've shared it with you. I know when I'm happiest in my life, because I've been unhappy. I have experienced moods of unhappiness and times, periods, if you want to call them as the Bible does, seasons of unhappiness, when I was not a happy person. Even though I called myself a Christian, I could not say that I was content. You often find when that happens, you start reaching around for things to make you happy. Even though in your heart of hearts, you know the only thing that will. And I always found this to be true of myself. I was always happiest when I was closest to Jesus Christ. When I was doing, by the grace of God, what He told me to do, speaking to Him as He said that I should, trusting in Him as He wanted me to, daily, day after day. When I was doing that, when I was reading His Word, when I was studying and learning things about Him, I was always happiest. And when I got away from that, the happiness kind of drifted away. Because the happiness was not something that had a whole lot to do with me and my circumstances. It had everything to do with Christ. That's the only thing that will make a human being happy. I hate to say it that way, but it is true. I mean, I look for a more profound way to say it, but I don't think that there really is. The only thing that will make a human being happy is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, you may have all the right ideas, and when you get to college, there may be a lot of people that will tell you, oh, that's foolishness. You don't actually believe in that old Bible. That thing's so old, you don't even know if it's true. Let me tell you what. Oh boy, this is a good one. As a Christian, sometimes you may look in the mirror and ask yourself, am I a fool for believing this? Have I been bamboozled? Am I wasting my time? Hey guys, is it really necessary to be here on Sunday morning? Those questions will come up in your mind. But I'll tell you what I found. Yeah, they came. And I had to deal with them. But I always knew the answer in my heart was when I went back to Christ. There was the answer. There was the contentment. There was the solace that I was looking for. Christ is my life if I am a believer?
No matter what, Christ is everything. Paul said, once again, I reminded you of this, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. No matter how famous I am, you know, everybody loves famous people. We think all these famous people are so great. We get on the internet and look at, who's your favorite famous person? Who's your, don't duck. She's ducking. Who's your famous, your favorite famous person? You have one? Who? Barack Obama?
Not go there. We won't go there.
Who else got one? Movie star? Singer? Got a famous singer? Who? Nobody? What's wrong with you people? What's wrong with you, Chinese? What's wrong with the Chinese people? They don't like anybody famous? One thing, let me tell you right now. Americans just love famous people. I don't know about Chinese, but Americans just fall over for famous people. I mean, if you sing a song or you rap or whatever you do, they just love you. And they will knock themselves out to see you, to be like you, to pay a $500 to hear you sing a song. I don't care what it is. But let me tell you what. Those famous people are some of the most miserable individuals you will ever meet on this earth. They are so messed up. If they're not on drugs, they're on something else. They can't stay married 24 hours before they're married to somebody else. I mean, it's amazing how they live their lives. And even though they live just like that, always looking like they're empty inside with nothing, and they have everything, they have millions of dollars, they have these big homes that we say, oh boy, I'd love to have a home like that. You know? One thing about million-dollar homes, as you drive by them, you have no idea what's going on inside. The people may be miserable inside those million-dollar mansions, and nothing can help them. The house certainly can. And that's the way it goes. That is the way it goes.
Finally, listen to this little poem. You are my all, my theme, my inspiration, and my crown, my soul's ambition, pleasure, wealth, my world, my light in darkness, my life in death, my boast through time, bliss through eternity. Eternity is too short to speak your praise or fathom your profound love to man. To man of man, the lowest, even to me, my sacrifice, my God. That's what Thomas said. Remember when Jesus appeared and Thomas said, he had said to the, maybe a lot of you have been like Thomas. I probably could have been like that myself, I don't doubt. It's real easy to be like Thomas. He says, unless I see the nail prints in his hands or the spear wound in his side, I will not believe that he is risen.
And so Jesus appears, and Thomas, and just focused on Thomas, said, "Here, feel my side, feel my hand." But what did Thomas say in response to that? "My Lord and my God." Is that what you're waiting for? For Jesus to come and show you his wounds so that you can believe? Or will you believe what he says in his word? What should I desire of Christ? That's the question this morning. It's not a thing, it's not a car, it's not a house. It's him. Jesus, I feel kind of funny about praying for a new telephone. But I would not feel funny at all. Isn't that interesting though? But I would not feel at all strange to pray, "Lord, help me to know you better."
Yes.
Boy, I sure like that new Mercedes. Mercedes? Let's be able to afford it before you ask for it, okay? Well, let's step down a little bit. I sure like that new Volkswagen. Could I have one, please, Lord? Strange prayer, isn't it? Not strange at all. Lord, give me what you think it is proper for me to have. And most of all, help me to grow in my faith to you and to know you more perfectly. What a short prayer. We think we have to pray 15 minutes to say that we've actually accomplished anything. Not so. God bless you. I pray that the most important thing on your list, maybe I'm hopeful, has been altered to include Christ.